Banjani, everyone. This is Professor Alvin Roth, Professor Emeritus, California State University, Long Beach Africana Studies Department, former city councilman for the city of Compton, former Compton College Board of Trustees, and former Compton Unified School District Board of Trustees, along with my co-host, historian Joe Hembrick, longtime educator, coach, administrator of Linwood and Compton Unified School District, and just an outstanding researcher on the history and the culture of African people from ancient history, and deals with the challenges of spirituality from a Christian-dominated perspective. There's a movement of white Christian nationalism going on. So anyway, we want to welcome everyone to the nice program in which we are going to discuss Black August. And we'd be surprised at how many people don't know what that is about. And that's not unusual. There's a lot of people don't know what Black History Month's about, or what Kwanzaa is about, or what Juneteenth is about. But as Dr. Karenga once said, people that don't celebrate itself is lost forever. And so we're going to talk about Black August because it's a unique celebration. Some say it's a holiday. And if Rigo would put up the Black August commemoration, and I'll read it to you, and then we're going to get into some serious discussion on what Black August is. There it is. Black August began in the 1970s to mark the assassination of the imprisoned Black Panther author and revolutionary George Jackson during a prison rebellion in California. It is a time of reverence to honor political prisoners, freedom fighters and martyrs of the Black freedom struggle. So they picked August because of that day in which George Jackson and Jonathan Jackson were assassinated. The brothers ended up in San Quentin at that time began Black August. Now, it's very important for you to understand, that there are a lot of brothers that are incarcerated. They do a lot of positive things that come there. We always got to remember Elhaj Malik Shabazz, Malcolm X, got his transformation while he was in prison. The organization that are part of that brothers put together in while they're incarcerated are in captivity. Malcolm did it. George Jackson, of course. Nelson Mandela, while he was doing his 27 years, he was organizing and still recognized as the leader of the apartheid movement, along with Geronimo Pratt and his situation as a hero for standing up and not, he did 27 years and they just tried to get him to confess to something he didn't do and he wouldn't do it. He could have got probably parole. But Johnny Cochran, who said this was the most egregious case he ever had, and he was almost, he said he was going to fight for Jijaga Geronimo Pratt because it was a gross injustice where the police hid evidence of them following him. And no, he was not even in the vicinity of the murder and robbery that they accused him of. And he wasn't even that type of a person. He was a unique leader of the and brought his military skills to the Black Panthers at that time. Not only is Jijaga and Geronimo, H-Rap Brown, Jamil Alameen, he's in prison now. He's organizing, some under religious auspices and some under just straight out righteous struggle to make prisons better, to make life better, and to form a brotherhood for protection while they're doing a time in captivity. So we can go on and on and on with regards to Black people that organized while they were in prison. They formed Black cultural groups, have speakers come in, they used to. I spoke at so many prisons, from federal to state, up and down the coast. And it was just a unique experience to sit down with the brothers and discuss with them. And they put on beautiful programs in the California state prisons and federal prisons at that time. So just because you're in captivity don't mean that you don't continue the struggle. But they created this celebration out of the martyrdom of George E. Jackson, George Jackson, as well as Jonathan Jackson, and other freedom fighters that may not happen in August, but they recognize and appreciate the martyrdom and the sacrifice and the commitment that other leaders participated in for our righteous and relentless struggle for justice and human rights. So we recognize Black August in that context, because it's hard sometimes to educate our people because there's so many distractions and propaganda that the system has with regards to brainwashing our people and then converting them to Americanism as well. It's just like this assassination of this Afghanistan leader, Al-Qaeda leader today using a drone. And you want to know why kids kill each other? Because they see you killing people. You didn't arrest them. You didn't arrest Bin Laden. Shot him in front of his family. And then you want to ask why other youth do it? Because you train them. White, Black. That's why they have mass shootings in this country. Because people recognize that that's the way of Americanism. That you kill your enemy. You demonize your enemy. You get them to demonize and you deprivation, and then they mutilate themselves and they identify themselves as patriots and things of that nature. But the point is, getting back to Black August. Black August is a very unique day because it emerges out of the penitentiary and it has spread it. And it's about the morality of remembrance. Reality of giving homage and respect to those that contributed to our forward flow of liberation. Every year the Europeans celebrate Veterans Day, they celebrate this day, they give Purple Hearts, Blue Hearts, the people that kill for them and people that participate in their military. The whole purpose of military is to kill and destroy. That's the purpose. Police fight and kill, but the military is to obliterate you, to just destroy you. That's why they have so many weapons and things of this nature. But getting back to Black August, as I was saying, it's very critical for us to find out, just how do we celebrate? What do we celebrate? What are the fundamental questions? Fundamental question is, what is Black August? And we just read what Black August was. And then the second question is, how do we celebrate it? How do we recognize these martyrs and hold them up and things of this nature as contributors? A lot of Black people, young people, are born like they're born today, and they take cell phones like we had them 20 years ago, and they don't know that we didn't have them then. And they sometimes, because they can go, their freedom is they can go to Jack in the Box, to Taco Bell, they think they're free. And that's not freedom, because you can go to McDonald's or Jack in the Box or Benihana's or Yakimoto's or restaurants or go to games and sit next to white folks, as Malcolm said, sit on the toilet next to white folks, because there's no sign saying whites only. But there were people that struggled to get us where we are. And the question is, do we pay homage and do we recognize those that contributed to the struggle, the relentless and courageous and bodacious struggle that got us where we are today? People, you know, you own property, you're in the stock market, your kids can go to colleges, go to predominantly white colleges. At one time, we didn't let you all near the facility. And, you know, you take it, sometimes we don't give our youth the education about how we got to where we are. And maybe that would give them a motivation to achieve and to realize that we didn't struggle this hard for you to wear pants sagging and put on 2 and 3 earrings and have more earrings than your wife or your mom and fighting up for mirror space. We didn't struggle for women to dye their hair yellow, purple, and red, and orange, and blue. You know, you see that. And we struggled for us, for you to struggle for the next generation, because the struggle is a continuous struggle. It's not over. So Black August is a celebration of our achievement and the martyrdom of those that contributed to it. It's not just the Martin Luther King, the Malcolm X's, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the Kwame Ture, the Dijaga Pratts, and Geronimo Pratt, and all the brothers of political prisoners. It's also those that without names, your mothers, your fathers, that sacrificed to make a better life for you. You know, I mean, learning to appreciate and respect them. And how do you do that? By not causing no drama, not realizing that, as Malcolm said, wherever Black people is a battle line. And as Joe always said, Brother Hendrick always said, as long as you quit talking about the South, Louisiana, Mississippi, as long as you south of the Canadian border, you're in the South. And so these are critical things that we must teach our young people, our history of struggle and relentless struggle. We must bring up the David Walker letter. We must bring up the various Supreme Court rulings that suppressed us and deemed us as property, and how we fought to get those things changed with the 14th Amendment, and how we got those changed. Some people hugged their change. They're in slavery, they just kiss their chains. I'm so glad I'm a slave. You know what I mean? Because they get brainwashed and those things. So being with Black August is about educating our people, celebrating those and recognizing those. Why do we do that? So that they be just as much a hero as LeBron James. They be those that struggle for us are even more so a hero than sports figures and entertainers and singers and actors and military people for America, you know, that fight for America. But as Malcolm said, when it comes down to fighting for your people, you go over there and you give your blood for America. But when it comes down to defending your people, you ain't got no blood. So, you know, that's what Black August is about. Significant month, a significant days, because people developed it, just like we developed Black history. People began to talk about the unique contribution of people doing Black August. And that's not easy, because most people don't know that it was in August that the resistance began in Jamestown, 1619. Of August, when one of the first ships with Africans on it pulled in to Jamestown, and Fort Jamestown, they called it Jamestown, but it was Fort Jamestown, or James, Fort James, in 1619. That was one of the struggles. Then the Haitian Revolution of 1791. That was done in August, as well as the African led by Gabriel and Nana Poza in the 1800s. Nat Turner's struggle was in August. And the Underground Railroad in 1850 with Sister Harriet Tubman. That was done in August. Frederick Douglass and numerous freedom fighters dedicated to increase resistance to the Holocaust of enslavement and the liberation of our people. August is also the month of the birth of the Pan-African leader and teacher, the Honorable Marcus Garvey, as well as his founding of the UNIA. So we can go on and on. The major march in Washington by Martin Luther King was done in August of 1963. The Watts Revolt, which I was deep into, I did 45 days in juvenile hall. I was in a junior in high school. So, you know, that introduced me to the movement in 1965. That was it. And the founding of the various Black organizations emerged out of the Watts Rebellion. They reached their height in the 60s. The NAACP, the Urban League, CORE, Congress of Racial Equality, the Black Congress was started, the Brotherhood Crusade was started. All of these organizations, the National Black United Fund, the Black Liberation Army, all of these things emerged out of struggle on our behalf. And we, but the morality of remembrance, the morality of paying homage to those that pay the price. It's just like you having children. And they don't appreciate the fact that you fed them and kept them together, bought their clothes. They take it all for granted. You're supposed to do that. I didn't ask them to come here. Well, you know, people don't have to be nice to you. Not even parents. Parents kill their kids. Parents abandon their kids, leave them on bus stops. You know, so, but you should appreciate those parents that stay and love you. And that's one of the remedies and issues that the Black August movement did, is the power of love of each other. Love of each other. If our youth, as we were talking about the other week, about the music, it didn't make no difference if someone tell you not to love. It's like somebody tell you, don't love your wife, don't love your children. Well, you're going to still love them if you're in love with them. Well, that's the whole movement. Are you in love with your people? And which people should you love? Not the ones stealing from you, not the one on drugs. I mean, we love them in a way, but I'm talking about those that are really trying to make a difference in our life. So I ask this question. As we get ready to ask these questions, you know, if you have never heard of Black August, that's okay. That's a part of suppression. Everybody talking about voter suppression. What about history suppression, culture suppression, and rape? You know, what about mind control? What about all those things that affects our people in many ways? They'd rather... I remember when Spike Lee came out with the Malcolm X movie, the same time Jurassic Park came up. Most parents took their kids to see Jurassic Park. Our history is more sacred than anybody's, or just as sacred as anybody. It's just as sacred as the Muslims with Prophet Muhammad 1,500 years ago, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, is just as sacred as Christianity under the auspices of St. Augustine, the Black, and those, and Reverend Stallings, who started a Black Catholic movement. Our history and our culture is just as sacred if you hold it that way. But you have to be taught and trained that way. If One thing I learned as a young man, if I don't show respect for myself and my mother and my father and my children, then other people ain't gonna show respect for them. If we don't show respect for each other, others are not gonna show respect. So that's what the beauty of Black August is about. It's about paying homage. So we ask that question, what is Black August? And that is a celebration of ourselves, the celebrations of our achievement and those that contributed to it. The best of us as African people in thought and practice, not the negative stuff that the propagandists put out. They assassinated this man and you listen to them, you think he was in your house killing you right now. And they say, this man's in Afghanistan. You know how far that he is? How is he a threat? He's walking around and they send a drone and just take him out. They did that to Gaddafi. They demonized Black leaders and assassinate them and get us to the point that we don't even listen, educate ourselves to their history. And that's the beauty of that. And then the other question is, should we celebrate and commemorate or pay homage to those that wage righteous and relentless struggle for Black people and justice and for justice and liberation? Should we appreciate the people in Ferguson that, for Mike Brown, that demonstrated and let the system know that, he had his hands up and you killed him? Should we appreciate the people that struggled for George Floyd? Or do we call them rioters? Do we call them people burning up their own neighborhood? Do you take the narrative of the European? Or do you understand why the people did what they did? And it was an act of liberation and freedom and to let the system know that they had did them wrong. But those are a fundamental question. And what is the relevancy of Black August to Black people today? Why should Black people today give a damn about brothers in prison, sisters in prison, Black people that's struggling for them? Why should they care what Martin Luther King said when he said he had a dream? Why should they care when Malcolm said freedom by any means necessary? Why should they care when Marcus Garvey said race first, you mind your Black people? What Black people have done before, they can do again. Why should they care what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said? Why should they care what their Black leader, what W.E.B. Du Bois said, what Dr. Yosef Ben said, what Marcus got? I mean, those are some fundamental questions. So we're going to go around and see from that. All right. Kwabena, Chicago.
Well, are you still there?
Kwabena. Yeah, I'm here.
Kwabena, yes, what's your position? Dealing with being a relative of DeJaga, John Geronimo, what Pratt, what's going on with you and how do you see Black August?
Brother, you broke it down. I just understand that it's important that, like you said, we recognize and even celebrate it. I think listening to you tonight even got more in my mind about celebrating it, because we need to celebrate those who gave those sacrifices and, are still sacrificing. So, I wouldn't say celebrate it as much. And we even had Brother Jeechu with us for Black August program a couple of years ago during COVID. And we talked about not celebrating it, but, you're making me rethink celebrating it again after listening to you tonight. So, I understand both sides of it, but I think it's very important that we recognize, celebrate, acknowledge our freedom fighters, So I was thinking earlier, I saw a post with, it was a year ago today, that Dr. Goss passed. you know, August. I said, this is Black August. You know, I thought about even Renoko Rashidi. I mean, it's a year ago. Tomorrow's anniversary, first anniversary of his death. And I think these are brothers who sacrifice, who love their people. And I mean, they just add on to the list of significant events and significant people who work for us, you know, whether they got locked up or supported political prisoners or supported prisoners. And I know Dr. Goss and Renoko Rashidi did. You know, I know Geronimo talked about Renoko going to visit him. And I know so with that, yeah, I think it's so important. I'm out here in the Chicago area. I mean, it's where I live, in Gary. And, you know, we close out Black August with the birthday of Chairman Fred Hampton of the Illinois chapter of the Black Panther Party. His birthday is August 30th. So every year we have a program for Chairman Fred Hampton. And part of our Black August program.
Yeah, Hampton.
So we do a Black August every year. Yes, we do a Black August every year in Gary. And since Black Lives Matter came into being, we have a chapter in Gary, and we recognize Black August. Now, we always think about Asada and Sandra Bland. Those are the two we highlight, even though we highlight all our political prisoners, as many political prisoners, those who went in, like you said, as freedom fighters, and those who once got in and became politicized and woke up. You know, like this year, we're showing a video on Brother Shaka Shakur out of a Indiana political prisoner who's been doing good work for a while. So we got a brief video we're gonna show about him. And just thinking about, you know, a lot of the brothers who were locked up and those who weren't even locked up who support Black artists. I think about Harold Welton out of the LA area, who's constantly on the case with Michelle McGee.
Yeah. And share information. We had him on the show a couple of times.
Okay, yeah, I gotta check out one of those shows with Brother Harold. Mm-hmm. And then you know, our people, I know Brother Hondo in Chicago, Brother James McIntosh on the East Coast with CMOTAP. I mean, they're always doing programs in support of political prisoners. They did a good program with a fundraiser for Brother Seko Odinga recently. And so he's always recognizing our political prisoners. And so people like him, who lost Brother Cam Howard, who was a co-chair of in COBRA recently, you know, they struggle with that Ados madness a lot of times. But no, our political prisoners have to be a part of our call for reparations. And so just for those who, I'm just thinking about those who struggle for our political prisoners. We do a conscious hip hop show, and constantly we are dealing with the situation with our political prisoners and calling for their freedom and not wait till, you know, one day or 2 days before they're gone, then letting them out before they leave here physically. But that's why, you know, Mutulu needs to be released. You know, we even say release Leonard Peltier, you know, of course. So yeah, Black August is so for us and our people, and we want to spread the word and get the word out even more. So we have a, you know, since Black Lives Matter, I'm glad that the Black Lives Matter in Los Angeles put up that billboard for Michelle McGee. And we're calling on our chapter here in Gary to do more, also use some of the resources that we have to start making more people aware. So we're having our program on August 20th, Saturday, August 20th in Gary, Indiana. But we do it every year, and we've been doing it for quite a while, recognizing Black Art.
Well, first of all, I want to say, we want to commend you for your program, I think a week ago, where we were dealing with the harmful effects of hip hop music, gangster rap, and a great job in exposing that, attacking the airways, as you say, with regards to the effects that's happening on our youth. And I want you to continue that outstanding work you're doing with regard to that. But a good doctor, you have any comment?
I agree with everything you were saying, Professor Rock. I just think, this time and era, man, it's everybody's just bogged down with a lot of stuff, man. Everybody got a lot of issues. I learned about Black August, George Jackson, through listening to the Steel Pulse growing up, man. And you know, that's how I knew about it. But yeah, man, everybody got their own issues, man. You know, you're bogging us down with all these issues, you know, like you said, with the music. What you're saying, mind controlling us, you know, your job mind controlling you, man. I mean, I'm pretty sure, man, there's a lot of people that's working, especially black people that's working for white people. You can't go in there talking about Black August. You can't be celebrating on their white job, man. Cause I remember one day, man, I was working, his brother was with me, he wore a t-shirt. And I don't know if you guys know the picture of the slave ships cut in half, and you see the slaves all up and down the ship. He used to wear that shirt and said, "Hey, don't tell me what it means to be black." And they told him he couldn't wear that shirt no more to work, man. You know, and he put his shirt on, we're going home. So he couldn't wear that shirt anymore. But yeah, to answer your question, man, it's just there's so much going on. Everybody has their personal issues, man. So I don't think a lot of people, man, is going to be keeping up with past events, you know, that's had a major influence on our culture and history. All these young people, man, they got so much to deal with these days, man. Like the last show with the music. Music is controlling them, got them going one way, got them thinking about killing each other. They ain't got time to listen to, you know, people like you, Russell Keith, the show, man, to come and learn what's really going on. They're going to keep doing it, man, you know, unfortunately.
So, I just want to say this, Doc, because you're such a wise brother, and you paid the price, and you've been able to, you know, always bring forth wisdom to our show, and I appreciate that, your unique vision. But, you know, we must continue to struggle regardless of how many don't participate. Even though there was 300,000 people that went to the March on Washington, there's a lot of people that didn't go. Even though it was 1 million people that went to the Million Man March, there were millions that didn't go. I remember Donna Brazil was all on C-SPAN talking about why she was against the Million Man March. But then at the same time, women did participate. It was strong, no violence, and it was a pledge. They didn't go to demonstrate against America. They went to demonstrate unity for themselves. The Nation of Islam gave a pledge. Hakim Mahdi Bhuti and Maulana did a mission statement, and more black men came back home. Some got off drugs, some got political. We're not going to get everybody, you know, and it's not about getting everybody. It's about getting those that are willing and wanting to do it. And we appreciate your achievement, Doc, because you're steadfast, stable, and you're an example for young people. About, you know, being wise and being interested. Appreciate you calling in. Mashinda, what about you?
Yeah, I'm here. Sure. I appreciate all the comments that have come before me. Want to commemorate Black August, the start of Black August. I got familiar with it, you know, not too long ago, maybe in the last, you know, 10 years or so. Probably was in my subconscious before then, but, you know, at when I was younger, I might forget things and not put it, but all the events, not all, the events, but a lot of the events that took place, you know, the different rebellions against the systemic racism, you know, throughout the country, but particularly, you know, we talk about Brothers Jackson, and, you know, to name just a few. I like to commemorate the brothers that's on this line tonight, you know, part of that struggle, you know, carrying that torch, keeping it going. Your question was like, what is it important to keep it going, to put it to the children? You know, Brother Doctor, you, I agree, Dr. Ra. You know, he raises a lot of food for thought. You know, he brings it to that table. I like to agree with you in terms of you can continue to struggle. You know, and a lot of the generations that, you know, that are failing, you know, now and before, are without this information that we're talking about. You know, it's just not information. You know, it's a way of life. It's a, like I say, it's the struggle. And when they're without struggle, you know, the words, the cliches and the sayings. Of course, it's without question that that alone would, you know, give them some sense of empowerment and something, you know, a purpose in life. Once you understand, you know, historically about, you know, Black August, you know, I remember I was a very young kid, Ronald Reagan, the governor of California. I remember, you know, cutting after school program, chopping the budget, you know, and then, of course, you know, people that I knew that were involved with either the Panthers or associated with the Panthers and the Malcolm X Foundation, different things that were going on, people that I knew personally growing up, you know, fighting the agents of repression. You know, of course, we talked about J. Edgar Hoover and all of those things. So, you know, there's things in place that, you know, keep the system going. Brother Quavon, I was talking about music, you know, the ill effects that it has on our children. You know, that's part of that systemic structure, that racist structure, that, you know, I was going to be on the other night when I missed it, you know, when he was talking about that. But it's all tied in to what the brothers that came before us, these are the things that they're fighting for a better life, you know, struggling, you know, the fighting systemic racism. And that night, it was up and coming rapper got shot and killed about 1 minute from where I'm sitting right now, you know. And it was, you know, and I've heard a lot of people get killed and just know about this and that, but that hit me a different way. And anyway, the point is, you know, this social media playing a role in the system. And these rappers, they're communicating with one another, you know, through social media, challenging one another, and it becomes deadly. You know, that's just a fallout or ill effect. Was it Maki had a booty? Couple of other guys, Renoko Rashidi, different names. I've been familiar with those names and some of their teachings and understandings. And so I appreciate being amongst this group of scholars tonight. And I'm going to just continue to listen. Have a good evening.
All right, Brother Machine. And we thank you for your contributions. It's invaluable, brother. It's just a beautiful thing. You deep in the South and you working with young people and you just doing so much to bring consciousness to our program, and we deeply appreciate you. Brother Joe Hembrick, Brother Hembrick, what's your position on this blackout? We're going to get back to David in a minute.
Well,
go ahead. Are you there, Hembrick?
Yeah, I'm here.
Go ahead, Joe, and then we're going to come back to David after everybody else. Go ahead, Joe.
I wasn't real familiar with what it's called, although I'm familiar with the historical figures that you presented, you know, as a reason for celebrating. And I would just like to say that, I guess somebody was talking about doing it every month. Well, me in mind, you know, I'm doing it on a daily basis. If it ain't black, or something dealing with black, I don't even want to hear about it, whether it's financially, politically, socially, religiously. I don't want to hear none of that unless it's involving our own people. Oftentimes, you know, in the celebrative mode. There's too much celebration and not enough substance in terms of getting something done as a result of the celebration. You always got a few people doing this and that, but you have big celebrations, but I would prefer just little tiny, you know, getting it done issues as a result of the celebration. For example, Black August, you know, being the thing it's celebrated for about the brothers who, you know, were incarcerated and all of that, these youngsters need to be seeing something like the spook that's set by the door. Were they recruited out of the, you know, penitentiary system, you know, forming these organizations that were fighting for our freedom? And as far as the youngsters, I found from my years of teaching, if you teach them this type of information, it changes their whole perspective on how they think and what they want to do. And I was doing some, well, a buddy of mine that worked in the juvenile, you know, system was doing a lot of research, and most, about 80% of the youngsters that end up getting incarcerated were following someone else, some friend or some homie. You know, it wasn't no thought that was in their mind. It was a thought in somebody else's mind, and you following them. We got to teach our children how to think for themselves. Then they can make better choices. So I just like to say this, you know, as long as we're in this society, we continue to commit what I call cultural genocide by the things we do celebrate, all, you know, the Thanksgiving, Christmas, New, you know, all of that old Easter, all that old stuff. But we don't, you know, celebrate our own stuff enough, or the people even knowing about it enough. And when you commit cultural genocide, you know, you'll go for anything. So we need to be grounded in our own stuff. And like I say, one of the biggest hindrances of us getting there, in my estimation, is education system and organized religion. Keeps us from getting to where we need to be to do what we got to do. And it don't have to be on a large scale basis. It could be on your street. And there's one thing I admired about Adolf Hitler, and I'm not saying I admired him for the number of people he killed, but the way his organizational structure was. He had it organized block by block, street by street, and people was reporting about who ain't with the program and whatnot. So, you know, there's things our youngsters need to survive, like a skill. You know, you need that other than a diploma. You know, what can you do? We need to turn out some carpenters, some plumbers, some electricians, you know, entrepreneurs, all of these different aspects where a kid that ain't really sharp academically can make a living otherwise. You know, everybody can't be a barber or a beautician. I used to challenge my kids. I said, tell me you can go in your community and spend your money with somebody that look like you, other than the barbershop and the dope man. Name me something. And they had to struggle with that. And so that's opening their eyes to what we need to be doing as far as entrepreneurship goes, so we can, you know, circulate money amongst ourselves. Anyway, I don't want to keep rambling on and on and on, but that's just my thought on, you know, what we need to be about.
All right, good. Thanks, Joe. That's some deep, and we agree with the positions that you take about the need to really find ways to reach the young people. And as you say, once you turn that light on, they be productive. Brother Rasha T.
Yes, sir. Yes, Black August. We had a show last year with David on here. I just want to share this. So we have two shows on today's show. And let me see. It's not coming up, but it was the date was August 16th, 2021. We had Black August, another show on Black August. So it's a a great concept, being that our situation dictates us to be Black because we're in a colored context society. And one thing that people can do is surround themselves with company that's going to teach them things that they need. I just take myself as an example. When I was at Long Beach State, I didn't even know Professor Rob when I was playing basketball. And when I finished basketball, I was introduced to Professor Rob, and I started spending time with him. And then that started shaping my thinking. And then throughout the years, I spent many times with Professor Ra in various situations. And then in addition to Ra, in 2011 or 12, something like that, I was introduced to two other scholars that had a major impact in my life. One is Dr. Kamal Kamban from the East Coast, that was a professor and a teacher, a very extraordinary Black individual that really take Blackness serious. He has a publication called The Last Black Man Standing. And then you have Neely Fuller Jr. I was also introduced to him, which he's 93 years old to have he has a show weekly like ours. And he talk about things that Brother Hembrick talk about, like being on code and doing things that makes sense constructively and giving good outputs on your actions. So you have to put yourself in the company of what you want to become. And a lot of people do not do that. And like Hembrick said earlier, he said that there a lot of the kids are influenced by other kids. So that's we need this information, and it's a good thing that we're doing it. Okay, Professor Ron.
All right, Brother David, are you there still? On the phone?
I'm here, Dr. Love. All right. Y'all hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you good now.
Yeah. I touched a little bit on this subject last year, and fortunately or unfortunately, I spent 5 years at San Quentin where there were approximately 2,600 inmates on the main line, of which about 66% of those were African Americans. And I only met and talked to about three guys that knew anything about Black Aukus. And we're talking about individuals who have been in the system for 25, 30 years. The Black Aukus movement in the prison system today has no grip. It's not even a topic of conversation. And we're talking about an indensed environment where you have, like I said, the majority of the inmates in the population are African Americans. And there's no discussion about what we're going to do in Black Aukus. I'm asking you guys today, as you sit here and refocus in on what this really means, this ideology, what is it that we're looking at trying to do with this subject? What is Black Aukus? And in that, we've got to be able to redefine who it is that we're looking at and who's the target audience in order for us to get this movement going again, because again, it's just a conversation that pops up once a year in August. And after that, the 11 months, there's been no follow-up. So we've got to get out of the concept of just talking about it. And if there is going to be any idea of what you're going to do with it in the future in terms of bringing awareness to the problem inside the prison system, and bringing reality back to what George Jackson did, then we've got to put effort into it. And we've got to potentially structure some kind of movement with some kind of bite, with some kind of financial support I mean, to bring it up out of the world of anonymity, because nobody knows about Black August. My question is, when do we stop talking about it and doing something about it? How do we bring this subject to the forefront? Yes, your educators are talking about educating, you know, the Black student, but I mean, is the Black student astute? Is he listening? Is he aware of who Angela Davis was or is? Is he aware or is she aware of who George Jackson was? Are they even talking about the Black Panthers anymore? I mean, even to a certain degree, the Nation of Islam has lost some of its tarnish. So my question to the brothers that are professing to want to keep this subject on the forefront, what are we doing about it? I mean, I spent 5 years at San Quentin, and not but four guys, I think, in the 5 years I was there, and I was writing for the newspaper, so I was involved in everything that was going on in the prison, didn't bring the subject up. It just wasn't a topic of conversation. So my question to the brothers that are here listening right now is, after this conversation is over with and after we shut down this podcast, what are we going to do about it? Are we going to continue to make preparations and plans to talk about it? I guess I got lost, huh?
No, you're fine. Professor Rod, you have to unmute.
So, yeah, my efforts to stay involved in this conversation, I would like to bring some structure, you know, to this conversation insofar as let's timeline something to implement something and let's target somebody or some group or let's target an audience that we're going to address our concerns with. Are we going to focus interest in on the population of inmates that are in prison? Are we going to talk about the young men and women that are on the verge of going to prison? Are we going to put this idea into the educational system, which we know now is being challenged by the Republicans, yep, trying to rid themselves of any responsibility of educating anybody about anything other than something Christian and white and progressive? My question to the brothers here, with all the knowledge that we've talked about and the insight that we have, how do we get off this platform and let's go to the drawing boards? Let's start drawing these vectors. Let's put together some timelines. Who is it that we're trying to address? How do we propose of getting this information out? And in the long term, what do we see being the impact? Because then maybe what we can do is put a nonprofit around the movement and take it across country and make more of the prison systems aware of the possibilities that we're bringing awareness to the revolution of incarceration. Because California is going through a complete metamorphosis today. You've got white folks jumping out of these colleges in the Bay Area. Professors leaving their classrooms, bringing their students to the prison system, and everybody's now getting ordained on prison reform. Okay, so now the prison emphasis is there, but now what do we want to talk about inside the prison system? How do we address and how do we lift the veil of ignorance of all the brothers that are in the prison system today that aren't aware of Black August? And to matriculate that idea even more, how do we bring it into the classroom? How do we get into the mainstream where it can get some grip? And maybe possibly we might even get a movement going. But the idea is that we got to quit talking about it.
Okay.
Brother David, can I ask
you? Go ahead, brother.
You mentioned that when you were locked up, that you, about three people knew about it and that you wrote for the newsletter. Was it Was it the suppression in there when you couldn't write about it, or did you not speak? Were you educating more people about it while you were in there? Just that's my question.
You got to keep in mind that San Quentin, like any other prison, is all about reform and rehab. And the newspaper was centered around being able to expose the world to what was really going on outside the prison system. And so a lot of the information that we were actually restricted to writing about were things outside the prison system and things that were being used to reform the prison system and programs that were being designed to help inmates prepare themselves to become rehabilitated so that they could go back out to society. Now, the subject of Black August has always been, I think, a touchy subject with the Department of Correction and Rehabilitation. But this newspaper, which was one of the only newspapers that was actually being written, published, and distributed by inmates in the world, we had, you know, of course, advisors, and we had to send everything that we were basically writing to be approved by the administration. So the subject of Black Friday or Black August never really surfaced on that scale. There was a couple writers like me who were trying to bring that subject out. But of course, you know, you're dealing with the administration, and you know, anything enigmatized with Black awareness is always going to receive some type of administrative heat.
Hey, Brother David, let Kwamenah respond. You're on mute, Kwamenah.
Yeah, I mean, I figured there were some restrictions where you all couldn't be free to, you know, share more about Black August, especially when we're thinking about where it started and what have you. So, but I want to just address in terms of more than just August, because I know there was a piece, I think it came out of LA with Angela Davis, Fred Hampton Jr., Harold Welton was on it, and others not too long, about 3 or 4 months ago, where they were dealing with political prisoners. There's newspapers dedicated to that, the Jericho movement. So there are movements out there. Do I agree that we need more action? But I think the discussion about it definitely needs to continue. We need more discussion about it. And I mean, so I'm with you in terms of us maybe probably doing some more campaigns and some other things like that. Because I mean, I think we should have a more widespread campaign to get Rochelle McGee out of prison. That's ridiculous that their brother's still locked up for the longest held political prisoner in the world, is what they're saying. And then so many others. So I agree that we should do some more action. But I do want to say that there are plenty of brothers and sisters out there still struggling with this. And I was thinking about when we talked about how we talked about the music last week. I remember Paris did a song about Asada, a song for Asada. The rapper Common visited Asada in Cuba and made a song called Asada. Arrested Development and Africa Inside Me talked about our political prisoners. Dead Prez constantly talks about our political prisoners, as does Mos Def, Yasiin Bey, like in his song Sunshine. So that the youth was getting that information. And so again, just like it was dealt with in prison, and they deal with it out here, but we got to continue to get that word out and talk more about it. Because again, these are people who sacrificed for us and those who are still alive, you know, they have to be released. And we have this whole prison industrial complex, like you guys know, and over policing, it has decimated our community. You talk about where I live in Gary, it's ridiculous how many of us, the population was 175,000, now it's down to under 80,000. And one of the things that decimated it was the police and prison industrial complex and the influx of drugs in our community. And our political prisoners, you know, they deal with all this stuff. So, yeah, I just wanted to comment like that. But just to say that there are struggles, there are forces and people out there dealing with it every day.
And not only that, and thank you for that.
Professor Rock.
Yeah.
Can I just say that we've had two shows with Harold Milton for Rochelle and Q McGee right here. So we are exposing political prisoners and Black August. So that's something that we're doing. And then I agree with brother, what else are we gonna do? So that's another time.
First of all, let me just say this. At the time that Black August was started in the early 70s, there was it was a part of the Black movement. we have to rebuild the Black movement so that conscious people who may get incarcerated will continue to struggle no matter where they are. Right now, you have a suppression. I used to speak at penitentiary. They had Black cultural groups doing the Black movement in Chino and St. Louis Obispo, which Jaga was when I spoke in the 80s, as well as a federal penitentiary in Arizona and a federal penitentiary out here. I spoke Black Gods and the Devil Warehouse. But the point is that you don't have that, as the brother was talking about, as much, because they suppress it and they restrict it because the brothers was getting conscious and demanding better treatment and going on hunger strike and rebellion. You had Attica, you had all kind of rebellion, and you still have people fighting. But sometimes people, like Malcolm said, don't be shocked when I say I was in prison. Hell, you still in prison. And the different, this is in the prison of the mind, it makes you think we ain't doing anything. It's like Dr. Kringle was talking about Tellus 4 on Star Trek, where the people think they're not doing anything. The system makes you think you ain't doing nothing. And they out there, me, give you some tools. And in 2008, there was a picture called, a motion picture called Black August. You know, people got to get that video and play with the kids and discuss it. Yeah. And also in literature, there was a 2019, a book, Black August, 1619 to 2019. And then there was music with the release of, in 2019, sound of recording, Black August, mixtape. And in art, there was a release in 2016. Artwork, Black August. There are people doing it, but like the brother said, sometimes people forget about people that's in the prison. They forget about people ain't in prison. You know, the mental ill, the homeless, and all of that. So, I mean, but don't think that people ain't out there struggling. What Common are doing about Black music, what people doing about reparation, it's just that the movement is so spread out. You got people fighting about Black AIDS. You got people fighting about Black. The elderly, you got people talking about this and that. There's so many different movements going on that you make you think that because everybody's not after this, the liberation struggle in the 60s, there was two of them, one civil rights and one Black power. The whole goal was to get justice. It was a single movement, but now you got multiple movements. You got mentorship program. You have people. We used to have a bunch of independent schools. Now we got just a few Black independent schools. But we still struggle. What they did, what the Million Man March was one of the biggest events. Both of them, Million Man March 1 and 2. I was a part of them. I went to America. Dorothy Heights Center in Washington, D.C., Fair Content for me, Maulana, Brother Crusade. We all met there to form the second one. Second, their Black people are doing the best they can with nonprofits and working on helping brothers to get out of prison, get back in jobs, get their records expunged and doing things. There are people doing things. But the system make you think you ain't doing anything. And like you say, Brother David, yeah, we can do more. It should be in the home. It should be. But you got to remember, like I said in the beginning, there's some people that hug. They're just looking for a comfortable spot in oppression. They don't want no problem. They look, I just want to just live and just go give me a little shot of bourbon and a margarita and eat some Mexican food and lay up with my woman and watch sports. There are people like that. Then there are activists. And we got a lot of activists out there. They don't get the television time. They don't get the news time. We got Black people. But look, let me tell you, And Brother David, you're so right in many ways. You got the HBCU, Historical Black Colleges and Universities, developing a co-program with Israel. Israel gonna give them scholarship and grant to come to Israel and to take classes, and they can come to the HBCU. Israel, what they did with apartheid, supporting apartheid in South Africa, what they're doing to the Palestinians, what their role in the Holocaust of enslavement of us, but nobody's criticizing the HBCUs or letting them presidents, it was about 10 presidents that went over to Israel. I mean, we have contradictions, that's my point. But we can't stop. It's up to those students at those schools to rise up. And they will. You just got to just keep pushing. No matter what, keep pushing. You understand the struggle is a long and protracted struggle. And like you're doing, David, like Brother Kavanaugh, Doctor, like Brother Joe, we're continuing of the struggle. They're talking about Christopher was the first one to get shot during the American Revolution. He was a slave. Now, I think his master just hid behind him. You know, they're trying to act like he died for America as a slave. You let them tell you that? I don't believe that. But they got the media and they portray that. My point is that you can't let these people distort your love for your people, for those that are really working hard. Black Lives Matter movement did a lot for the judge, George Floyd. They never would have arrested them people. They never would have convicted them without struggle. So we have some victory. The war is not over. The Europeans talking about white Christian nationalism. Got militias, guns for everybody. I mean, that's his drip. But at the same time, it wouldn't have Kamala Harris. You wouldn't have had Barack Obama. You wouldn't have had the Congress shift from the white right wing to a more moderate. I don't trust no white people. I'm like Malcolm. I ain't a Democrat. I'm not a Republican. I'm not even American, got sense enough to know it. I'm an African in America. But the point is, other people see themselves as Americans. You know, they talk about the brothers that flew the planes and for America and the war. Yeah, I appreciate brothers that went and they made their contributions and they came back, struggled for civil rights and all that fine. But I wouldn't even join the damn Boy Scout. You understand? But that's what they want to do, fine. You know, we all have different vision. But the point is, David, I just got to love our people, no matter uncompromising, for those that struggle, and hopefully that we all continue. You know, go ahead, David.
No, I agree with you with everything relative to our struggle, because it's ongoing and it's going to continue. And we're going to be struggling as long as we remain on this earth. But if we're going to implement, a new thought into the mainstream, we've got to understand that we've heard everything from past, present, and future, and even to large conversations, most of the conversations today don't center around reparation. And this is, of course, should be a hot topic of conversation, but how do we stem a relationship from the present to the past? And then from out of the past, we have to target who we want to see carry on this legacy, or at least put in the remembrance. There is a significant number of African-American men in the prison system, both at the local levels, both at the state levels, and at the Fed level. And the fact of the matter is, who really cares? Who really cares other than the immediate family? So until we're able to bring that enigma into the forefront and put some kind of heat behind it, because at least back in the 60s and the 70s, we had the Panthers. We had the US organization. We had the Nation of Islam. We had a black movement that was moving issues and ideologies along into the mainstream. Today, we've gotten commercialized. Who really talks about black history? Who is significantly making any impact on what we're doing in our communities today? Black Lives Matter has $92 billion, I understand, in this corpus. But that money was raised by outside sources. So when it comes to black issues and black causes, who's going to take it from start to finish? On who are we going to target to bring this ideology and bring this philosophy and bring this awareness to our mainstream? Dr. Raw, your name has been recognized throughout the county, out the city, throughout the state for years as being all about black causes. I mean, can you lend your name to a new movement called Black August, and we'll make this thing a 12-month out of a year process?
David, we struggle in different ways all the time, but let me just say this. Your birthday is your birthday, but most people take their birthday off. If they celebrated it every day, they wouldn't work at all. We just designated August because of some historical thing. The struggle is year-round already. It's already. The struggle for Kwanzaa, the struggle for Juneteenth, the struggle for recognition of Black Independence Day, the struggle. We used to have Black Family Day. We got all of that.
I mean, that's my point. That's exactly the point.
Yeah, but I mean, and exactly I agree with point. You. And I agree with you in many ways that we can do more. And they got billionaires that are trying to do more. This brother Derrick Henry, that played for the Titans, he had a tailor-made suit with the name of every Black person that he could find, so name sold on the suit. And you never saw that among athletes. LeBron James just got recognized for donating $40 million to various groups for service. We never had that before. But even though, you know, Bill Russell, Jim Brown, them, and they got hooked up in Oakland with the Black Athlete Rebellion. But then there was a law. There's always laws in movement. But the American government spent billions of dollars to suppress our movement, to ignore our movement. They don't get recognition unless we burn up something. Because they're not going to focus on the Black people that are excellent, doing excellent things, making excellent contributions to life and the forward flow. But let me tell you, I was in prison for 10 days. And man, hey, I learned so much. And you're right, people forget about what's going on in the prison. The people in prison forget about what's going on outside. You're right, you understand many ways. But it's a struggle. And I agree with you, I'm willing to start and work with any group. And we can continue and do that. But we got to close out. And we're gonna have you back, David, to give your vision of how we can get people organized and give you an opportunity to have a show on my program, Conscious Corner, to discuss not just what we ain't doing, but I want you to talk also about what we are doing that you think is correct. Is that fair?
That's equitable. Looking forward to it.
All right, David. Well, me and Brother Embrick gonna hook you up. But Brother Rossi,
thank you very much, Joe, for the opportunity again.
All right. Brother Rossi, you want to close us out?
Rob, can I make a comment before you close us out?
Yeah, go ahead.
I just like to say this regarding the cultural genocide thing and what we do and what we spend. There's always been of my belief that as long as we keep putting a hand out to the man to finance us and stuff, we ain't gonna never get it. we can do it ourselves. The money that we spend on these things, and we commit this cultural genocide across the country, you know, Christmas trees, Easter, Stacey Adams, the food and all of that, the liquor to celebrate it, or the weed. If that can just be compromised and put into some kind of corporate fund, we won't need anyone else, you know what I'm saying, to help us get whatever we need off the ground. Now, Rasha Key, I used to do this when I was working at your establishment, which the candidates are likely to, you know, to go into the system from that group. I would love to speak to them and have people come speak to them like I used to do in the past. Get them to think for themselves and let them know if they don't change up their mindset, you know, where they're going. Like, so anyway, I just want to end with that.
All right, Brother Roger King.
Yesterday, it didn't even rain.
Okay.
Yesterday,
1 second.
They kept giving those alerts. No.
Okay, we got on Wednesday, we got Brother Mills coming on. It's activation or elimination. So I think that's along the lines of what we're talking about, and we will find out on Wednesday. And who we got for next week, Professor Ra?
I'll talk to Joe about it. We'll see. I think
Sister Amina, right? Queen Amina?
Come back. No, he. Queen Amina.
Okay. So, all right, everybody. It's excellent information this evening. So we're going to say each one teach one in Conscious Corner. Have a good evening.
All right.